Without a doubt, there's no competition in the area. Or the country, or the nation. It's awesome. I love church. I love being here. You know what they say about curry if it goes in hot?
Oh, come on.
So choose your curry. What's that?
You and I deliberately avoided
those. Oh, well, I went there. I like curry. Hey, we're ending a series today on the language of the kingdom. And I want to say this, that it might be the end of a series, but it's the beginning of a season.
Oh, come on.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Ron said last week that he believes that as a church, this is going to be a year where we improve our language. This is going to be a year where we really adopt the language of the kingdom and make it a part of our lives.
Yeah.
And I really believe that that doesn't just mean that on a Sunday that we speak better. And on a curry builders night, house builders, we speak better. On a kids rock night or a youth night or explosion, that's when our language is really good and positive, encouraging. But I believe that our words and our encouragement and our language is going to make the biggest difference in the place we spend on Monday through to Friday.
Yeah.
Where you work, where you study, that is where it's going to make the biggest difference. And I really believe that we as a church, we're going to make a difference in our communities.
Yeah.
We're going to make a difference in our worlds, in our workplaces, we're going to make a difference. Because I don't know about you, but I work and I know that sometimes the language isn't that positive, and I know it's not always uplifting, and there can often be a bit of complaining and negativity and maybe a bit of gossip. But that's not how we speak. We're the church. We're here to represent Jesus. In Matthew chapter 6 or 5, one of them, it says that we are the light of the world. Chapter 5 maybe. We are the light of the world. We are a city on a hill. We are a lamp on a stand. And you know what? The stars shine brightest at night, right? Correct? You can't see them right now. And so on a Sunday, if we're all speaking positive and being really encouraging, well, the truth is that we're not really standing out as much amongst everyone here because we're all sort of doing it. But I believe that in our workplace where there is a bit more darkness, a bit more worldliness, that's when we begin to shine. That is when we begin to be the light of Jesus and people actually see who Jesus really is. That's when we are a lamp on a stand. And in that darkness, in that school, maybe in the workplace, that is when your language will have the biggest impact. And so I want to say that this might be the end of a series, but it's the beginning of a season. And this year, we're going to change our language. Are we going to change our language? Amen. And so Pastor Ron spoke last week about the language of the kingdom, and I loved it. I love what he said. Language defines a culture. You know a culture because if it's of its language. You know a country because of its language. You know a church because of its language. Ron, he spoke on truth. Our language should be about truth. Our language should be about grace and have grace in it. And so today we're talking about encouragement and being encouraging to each other and lifting each other up and building each other up, because that is the language of the kingdom. You know, God's an encourager. Right from the beginning, he encouraged. He said to Adam and Eve, go forth and multiply. And Adam's like, well, God, you don't really need to encourage me to do that. It's going to happen, believe me. In fact, never mind. God said to Gideon, I was waiting for you to get there. It took you a while. God said to Gideon, you are a mighty warrior. You are a mighty... What an encouragement. Imagine if God sent an angel to you and said, get up, you are a mighty warrior. That's powerful. That's encouraging. Imagine if you said to your friend or someone in your life group, hey, you are a mighty person, and God's going to use you for some great stuff. That's pretty powerful. God is an encourager. And then again in Matthew, Jesus, well, he encourages Peter. He says, hey, I'm going to make you a fisher of men.
Yeah.
And you know, at first that sounds a bit weird. And it's like, how is that an encouragement? I don't want to fish for men swimming in the sea. What kind of weird wacko thing is that? But of course, Jesus was talking about, hey, you're going to influence people.
Yeah.
You're going to start the church. You're going to lead people. You're going to say things that are going to help change people's lives. You're going to fish for men. I don't know about you, but that's pretty encouraging. And so because God encourages, then so should we. The definition of encouragement is to inspire with confidence. Inspire with confidence. And I was thinking, you know, I loved watching the One Day series where Australia was playing England in the cricket. And it was just good to watch Australia win, finally. Because if you were watching the Ashes, it was a bit depressing. And Australia were not playing with much confidence. And so they were losing matches. But in the One Day series, they won a couple of matches. And then they began to play with confidence. And we've seen them really shine and win games. And it was great. It was just good for Australia, really, for us to win some games. You know why they were confident? They thought, you know what, we can win this game. They could see ahead and think to the end of the match, you know, at the end of the day, I really believe we can win this match. We've got it. It's in the bag. This is our match. We can do it. And I believe confidence is believing in a positive future. It's being able to speak something positively over somebody with confidence. To inspire with confidence. So I was at the gym yesterday with Mitchell, and I was lifting maybe a quarter, if that, of the weight that he was lifting. He's a strong boy. And if Mitchell was to encourage me and say, man, you were the strongest person in the gym yesterday. You were lifting the heaviest weights. Your muscles are so big. You're just awesome, man. You're not that far away from Arnold Schwarzenegger. You're just so strong. Well, that's not encouragement. That's a lie. And so encouragement is speaking the truth over somebody and speaking it confidently. And I can just really see us as a church speaking the truth with confidence over people's lives. So I want to ask you the question, do you actually believe there's a better future ahead for people? Because if you don't believe that, then you probably won't speak confidently over people's lives. And so for me, I like to read the Bible a lot because it just tells me so much good stuff about the future, so much good stuff that I can declare over other people's lives. So what are some of those things that we can declare confidently over people's lives? What can we encourage people with that's from the Bible? Well, first, it's pretty simple. God loves people. In John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not die, shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loves people. And you know what? Sometimes the biggest encouragement to someone is, look, God loves you, man. God really loves you. I know you're going through some stuff at the moment. I know some people have let you down, but God loves you. God really loves you. He loves you. He values you. You are significant to him. And so we can confidently encourage people with that because we know what the word says. Something else, God has a purpose for people. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. And so we can confidently speak over people's lives that there is a great future ahead for you. God has got some awesome things for you to do in the future. I know that because that's what the word says. And right now, I know, understand that like things are a bit cloudy, you're not sure what to do, and like everybody else seems to be living out their purpose, and you're really finding it hard. But I want to encourage you today because I know what the word says. And God's plans for you are a hope and a future, and I just want to speak that over your life and encourage you with that today. Something else that we can encourage people with confidence, knowing it's from the Word of God, that there is hope in every circumstance. We all go through challenges and stuff happens, and we all know that. But you know what? To encourage someone just to say, look, I understand you're going through a rough patch and things aren't looking very good and maybe your bank balance is, you know, not very good at all and your marriage, maybe it's not going so well. But hey, there's hope. I want to encourage you and just say there's hope. Because I know in Romans 8:38, I think it is, that it says, for we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, through him. And so, like, I don't really understand what you're going through exactly. I know it's tough, but I just want to encourage you and say, you know what, there's hope. Things are going to get better. Because I believe the word of God and I'm confident about it. I've seen it happen in other people's lives. And I just want to say to you, there's hope. Things are going to get better. And I want to encourage you. It just helps to put a smile on your face and say, hey, it's going to get better. Things are going to end up better because that's what the Word of God says. Something else that we can be confident about, and the Scripture is just filled with stuff. There is good in every person. A lot of the times people are so down and just don't believe in themselves and just have no, you know, self-esteem. And we can be encouraging and we can say things like, hey, you are a champion. You are a legend. You know, I can say this confidently, even though you may not think it, because I know the Word of God says that we are created in the image of God. And I know God's good. And so therefore, you are good. And I just want to encourage you and say, you're a legend. You're a champion. I got a message this morning from one of the guys who's not here today. And he said, man, I just want to say you're a legend. And I was like, wow, awesome. I'm speaking on encouragement. And before the message, I actually get an SMS to say, you're a legend. I was like, what a champion. And I'm going to embarrass him a little later. I'm not really embarrassed, just mention him. But we can just say good things about people. Because when God created everything in the first 6 days, after he created it, he said, you know, that's good. He created the light and the heavens. And he's like, oh man, that's good. He created the world and the earth and the animals. He's like, oh, that's good. God, you're good. He said that to himself. And then he created people and he's like, these guys are good. And of course, sin came and, you know, turned it all upside down. But there is still good in every person. And the Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm confident about that. And I'll happily say over every person in this room that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And there is some good in you. There is some great stuff in you. Even though it may not look like it right now, I'm going to say it over you and encourage you with it because I believe it. That's what the Word of God says. To inspire with confidence. You've got to believe it. You've got to see it. You know, God isn't finished with you. You know, we start a lot of things, a lot of ministries type stuff. We might start a business or start a marriage. I don't know what it is. A family. And it all starts out good and great and it's all happy. But then stuff happens, of course. The, you know, pressures come and stresses come and all that sort of stuff. We all know that. We all go through that. And we just, you know, it's like, God, this is coming to an end. I don't think this is going to work out. But you know what? God isn't finished with you. Because the Bible says in Philippians chapter 1 that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And so I know it doesn't look good. Maybe in Kids Rock last year, we just got to a point right at the Bulambi Neighborhood Center. And there wasn't many kids coming. And we didn't have a bus and it was just going down. And it wasn't looking good. But do you know what? God wasn't finished. He wasn't finished. He started something and it isn't finished yet. And we just, all we did was got together, reflected on some stuff and we changed some things, moved Kids Rock to here. We got the bus back and all of a sudden it just started to boom again. And we got some momentum again. So God isn't finished. And you can encourage somebody in their lives and say, you know what? God is not finished. Your marriage might not look great at the moment, but I can confidently say that God is not finished. God is not finished. I don't completely understand what you're going through, but God is not finished. And I just want to be someone that encourages you and just try to bring a smile to your face and help you. And so we can be confident about the things that it says in the Bible about people and encourage them with that. To inspire with confidence. In life group a few weeks ago, we all got around one of the guys and prayed for him. And then one particular guy, he just had such a strong word for him. And you know what? He just believed it. And he could see it. And he prayed it over him. And then afterwards, he said it to him again. And he told me. And it's like, this guy, he was just like, oh, I can see this guy is going to go somewhere this year. This is going to be a big year for him. God's going to do some awesome work. He's really going to get to know God. And things are going to happen. And he absolutely believed it. He could see it. And so he spoke it confidently over his life. That's what encouragement is. It's when you can speak confidently over someone. Toddy, he's the one that sent me the message this morning, and he's not here. But I can confidently say over his life that he is going to be an awesome, and he's becoming an awesome musician and bass guitarist. Because I teach him bass guitar, and he's just picking up things so quickly. And I've said to him, man, you are good. You're getting this really quickly, and I'm getting worried. Because I don't know how much more I can teach you. You're going to have to go somewhere else, and then you're going to get better than me. And then you're going to have to teach me and say, Adrian, you're good. You're going to get better. You know, sometimes we're afraid to encourage because we think they might get better than us. That they might get the spotlight. That they might get all the attention. And that's what holds us back from encouraging. I just want to encourage you to not let that hold you back. Allow them to just live out the full plan and purpose that God has for them. Encouragement. So, what is your perspective? What is your view of the future? Do you believe what the Word of God says? Can you encourage someone confidently about the Word of God and what it says? I just want to ask you that question. And I want you to answer that in your heart and say, well, do I really believe this stuff? Because if I do, then it's time for me to confidently start speaking up, getting it out, and declaring it over people's lives. Andy, a few weeks ago, in his message on encouragement, said, it's in us. We're always thinking, man, that guy's awesome, or man, that was a great song, or they did a great job. We just don't say it. And Andy was like, you just got to spit it out. You just got to say it. And so I just want to encourage us all. It's in here. We all think good thoughts about people. Let's just get it out there and encourage them and lift them up. Who knows what difference it will make in their lives? Who knows where they will go because of what you said in their lives? The key scripture I kind of want us to remember today is Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. So you can write that one down. Have a listen to it. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. I love that. It kind of says the same thing twice. But encourage one another daily. Now, for those that don't get that, and that just sort of skips over the top of their head, that didn't quite sink in, you just didn't quite get that, he explains it a little bit more. He says, as long as it is called today. Got it. Today, like every day, I get it now. And so, I like that. You just wake up, what day is it? Well, it's today. Well, that means I encourage somebody. And so I believe that we should be encouraging people every day, that a day should not go by where we don't encourage somebody. A day should not go by when we don't lift someone up. You know, for some of us, and I have to admit I don't do this, but for some of us, it might mean that when you roll over in the morning, you say, hey, you're awesome. I really love you, and you're the greatest person in my life. Now, I haven't actually done that the first thing in the morning, but maybe I'll do that now because I've said it. But maybe that actually really speaks to you as a husband or as a wife, and maybe that's what you actually need to do. You need to actually say something like that, and maybe that's the word for you today. I don't know. But you need to encourage somebody every day, whether it's your kids, your parents, your teacher, friends at school, whoever it is. You're called to be an encourager. You're called to be a light in this world. So whether you're in the workplace, or whether you're at school, or whether you're in your house with your family, you are called to be an encourager and see the best in people and say, you're a champion. You're so good. Man, you've got so much potential in your life. You're going to achieve great things. Maybe it's just something little and simple. Hey, good work. Little things can make a big difference. So I've got three thoughts on encouragement that I want us to think about and apply to our lives. I just want to pray before we do this. Mighty God, I thank you that you are an encouraging God. And you set the standard, you set the bar and said, we need to be encouragers, Lord. And God, I pray that today's message, Lord, wouldn't just be a fun, happy message, God, that we can just walk out and go say, oh, well, that was nice, that was a nice message. But God, I pray that your message would sink into our hearts. Lord, your word is like a double-edged sword and it cuts into our hearts, God. I pray your word would speak to our hearts today, God. I pray, God, that you would make us feel uncomfortable, Lord, because you are just identifying things in our lives that need to change, God. I pray that your word would encourage people, inspire people to encourage more and to change their language, God. Lord, have your way. Holy Spirit, move in everybody's heart today, including myself, God, and speak what you want to say to them. I pray. And everyone said passionately,
amen.
Amen. So the first thing, encouragement starts on the inside. You know, generally, the happy people are the most encouraging people. They're the people that love life and just sort of, you know, they love the people that are around them and they're just enjoying things and everything's going well, they're content, they're happy, and so they've got no problem encouraging other people. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30, it says, a heart at peace gives life to the body. And I just was thinking about that and I was like, you know what, if we've got a heart at peace, it's going to bring life to our body. And what does that look like? Well, that looks like encouraging words. That looks like an encouraging language. That looks like good deeds and just doing good stuff for people because we've got a heart at peace. We're not worried about what's going to happen. you know, things happen, but we're not worried. It's not, you know, our life isn't just we're depressed about it. We're happy. We're content. A heart at peace gives life to the body. And so encouragement starts on the inside. Another proverb I want to share. I've got a few here, and maybe one of them will just speak to you. As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. And so whatever's going on in your heart, it's going to reflect in your life. And so if you've got some, you know, some not so good stuff in your heart, it's going to reflect in your life. And you probably won't be the most encouraging person to be around because there's some stuff going on in your heart. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. I love that. You know, on Monday I was making fried rice. And Liz had gone to her first Mandarin lesson. She's doing that for the next however many weeks. And I was just preparing my message, and it got to about 8 o'clock. I'm like, well, I better start making dinner, maybe 8:30. I timed it so that it would be ready when Liz got back. That's what a good husband does. And I was pouring the rice into the little cup. It's an interesting story. And I cut the corner off the rice bag and was pouring it into the little cup to pour it into the rice cooker. Yeah. It's good. I can see you're on the edge of your seats. And what happened, like, the rice poured out quickly to begin with, but then the bag began to shrivel and shrink, and the rice began to slow down as it came out of the bag. And what that happened, I was like, you know what, God? This is a good illustration for a message on encouragement. Particularly for a first point on encouragement starts on the inside. But here's the lesson. It's pretty good. If you don't have a close connection with God, if you don't have an intimate and daily relationship with Him, then the flow of words that come out of your mouth will not be flowing out. It won't be a fountain of life. And so I want to say encouragement starts on the inside. And if you want to be an encouraging person and be able to confidently declare the Word of God over people's lives, then you need to have a close connection, a heart-to-heart connection with God. The Spirit of God needs to fill you afresh, like it says in Ephesians chapter 1, I think, every day. And I was just thinking about it, it's so true. For someone that doesn't have that close connection with God, they're always going to struggle to be encouraging. They're always going to struggle to serve and do good for other people, because every time they do it, their life sort of shrivels up and shrinks, and it's hard, and it doesn't just flow out. But the person who has a great relationship and connection with God, well, man, their words are a fountain of life, and it just flows out into all the people around them, because as the words come out, the Spirit of God is just filling them and filling them and filling them, and they're able to be a fountain of life, a connection with God. You know, in Kids Rock, Ron was saying that the Kids Rock debrief meetings, they're the place to be, and they are. And he said to get there on a 7:30, get there at 7:30 on a Thursday night, or 8:30, I can't remember. But I say get there at 5:30 and join in the whole fun. But they're heaps of fun. We have lots of laughs and corny jokes, and if I was to repeat them, you would not laugh, because they're just got to be their moments. And so there's lots of life and energy, and we have fun in our debrief meetings. And you know why? We actually love what we do. We actually love to serve kids. We love to reach out to kids and put on a program. And you know what? Challenges happen. I can't count how many times I've chased a kid around the streets of Bulambi because they did not want to get on the bus and decide to run home themselves. In fact, once I chased one down and caught him, and he punched me in the head. Didn't hurt. Come on. And then Zach came running out of the bus as if to protect me. I'm like, man, I've got it covered. He's just a little boy. It didn't. I appreciate the love, but man, he's just small. And it was funny. We've all cleaned eggs off the bus window. In fact, the bus is a common factor in all these problems. But it's a blessing at the same time. And I remember once that one night, everyone left. All the kids left. We'd finish our debrief, finish packing up. There was still one girl there. Her parents hadn't come to pick her up yet. And we were like, well, what do we do? We'll just leave her here. All right. No, we didn't do that. Kathleen, Liz, and myself, we waited and waited. And then it's like, okay, what do we do? I don't know. So we thought, okay, we'll drive her to the house and just knock on the door and see if anyone's home. And we tried to call the parents. We did that first, and no answer. And so, of course, no one was home, and we're just out the front of the house thinking, what do we do? We rang Jill, and she was, like, saying some stuff about, some stuff. And and then one of those words was the police. And as soon as we repeated that word, the girl was in tears and she was freaking out and crying and like, oh no, I shouldn't have said that. And so this was a situation. And anyway, what eventually happened, she often goes there to hang out with the next door neighbor and looks after their child when the parents are away. What was happening, the mum was at one of the bowling clubs just gambling and forgot about a child. And so we were just left there and had to wait. And it all worked out okay in the end. So she went to the neighbor's place. You know what? Challenges happen. Stuff goes on. But we still have fun in debriefs because we love kids' ministry. We love what we do. We love serving kids. And nothing's going to depress us. Nothing's going to get us down. Sure, not every debrief is great and positive. But, you know, the majority are, and we have fun. And the truth is that when you have a close connection with God, when you're doing what you're called to do in the place you're called to be, then your heart is going to be at peace. And you're going to be someone that flows out words of encouragement. And you're not going to have trouble encouraging people because you're enjoying life and your heart is at peace. So I want you to ask the question, are you in close connection with God? Do you know who you are? Do you know what you're doing? Is it what God's calling you to do? Are you in the place where He wants you to be? And there are some important questions you've got to ask yourself. Well, I'm running out of time. So the second point is this. Encourage somebody. Encourage somebody. You know, it's not all about you. It is about you, but it's not all about you. The Bible says, but God, your word says that you love me. You've got a plan and a purpose for me. And you want the best for me. And you're my healer, God. And you're going to provide for me, God. It is all about me, God. I hate it when people say it's not about me. Well, it is about you, but it's not just about you. There's 6 billion other people in this world that God is also about. And so I love encouragement because it forces you to look to someone else. It just comes right up against selfishness and pride and just puts that aside and says, you know what, I'm going to encourage this person. I'm going to stop thinking about myself and think about somebody else. It's not just about me. It's about somebody else as well. In Philippians chapter 2, it talks about looking to the needs of others, to the interests of others, valuing others above yourself. And got me thinking, I was like, God, what does that mean? Do we just like treat our lives like trash and just value other people like heaps better? Of course, God said, no, that's not what it means. You value yourself, you know who you are in Christ. You just value other people more. Yeah. You just put more effort into other people and encourage people.
Yeah.
Encourage people. There's some great stuff about encouragement. In Philippians chapter 4, I think it is, it talks about Paul saying, you know what, I forget about the past and I just look ahead. When you encourage somebody who's in the dumps and just not believing in themselves, then you've just got to say, hey man, just forget about the past. Don't worry about it. Some stuff's gone wrong. That happens. But let's look to the future. God has got some good things for you. And you're not going to get there if you keep holding on to the past. Encourage somebody. You know, encouragement doesn't have to be some big life-impacting, significant moment in someone's life. You know, like kind of what I've been mentioning. But it's just something small.
Yeah.
And it can make a big difference.
Yeah.
I read a quote on Facebook that says, I better read it so I get it right. Don't ever think you are too small to make an impact. Try going to bed with a mosquito in your bedroom. Can anyone say amen to that?
Yeah.
Your words can have a big impact in someone's life. Just a simple, hey, great work, man. That can make the world of difference in somebody's life. And I want to encourage you to let them flow out all the time. Hey, good work. That was great. You did such a good job. You're a champion. Just let them come out. Nothing like that is too insignificant. Don't think, oh, it's not going to make a difference in their life. Hey, a mosquito is going to keep you up all night. It's tiny and it bugs you. No pun there. But your words, just rolling over, that your words can have a big impact in someone's life.
Yeah.
And don't ignore the little things. I think that if we as a church can create an environment where everyone's just sort of shooting out little encouragements all the time, I think that people will feel more safe to step into what God's got them to do.
Yeah.
Because they won't be afraid and think, oh, they're going to judge me. and they're going to criticize me for doing a bad job. But they're going to say, hey, everyone's really encouraging here. They all believe in each other and just want to do the best for each other. So I might have a go. And who knows? You might get more leaders in your team. I'm not sure. But I think if we can create an environment where there's just lots of little encouragements, then people are going to feel safer. And then people are going to feel more encouraged to step out into what God has got for them. My last thought is this. You got to encourage yourself. You got to encourage yourself. You know, sometimes we are the biggest critics in our own life. We are the harshest judges on ourselves. And really, we can be really rude to ourselves. You idiot! Now, you wouldn't say that to someone normally, would you? You loser! I can't believe you did that! You're pathetic! That's really rude! You shouldn't say that to yourself! And so, you got to learn to encourage yourself. You got to learn to speak positive over yourself. Now, I really believe that today's message is going to impact people, and people are going to walk away today saying, you know, I've got to encourage some people. Yeah. I've got to be a person that encourages other people. Yeah. And that's going to be great, and that's going to be the word for you. But I believe, as I was praying over this and just going over it, there's some people in here today who need to learn to encourage themselves. Yeah. They need to encourage themselves. They need to know who they are in Jesus. They need to read the word and know who they are. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says the enemy wants... it doesn't say that. I was meant to turn there. But it says the enemy, he roars around like a... strolls around, whatever, like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He's out there, he's ready to get you, and he wants to get you when you're at your lowest. And he wants to take advantage of that situation. And so when you're putting yourself down, he just jumps straight in and says, hey, I like this. I can do this. I'm going to take it to another level. And so the enemy just wants to bring you down even more. And it's in those moments you need to learn to encourage yourself. You need to learn to say, hey, look, this is really hard. No one's around. I've got to just encourage myself. I've got to get back up and keep doing what I'm doing. I remember once driving home from work, and I was just in the car by myself. I was just feeling pretty down about things. There was a lot of pressure. Just, you know, like the pressures of life. It was just getting to me, and I was just wasn't feeling great. I was like just praying and asking God, oh, this is really tough. I'm struggling. And I felt God say to me, hey, you're a threat to the enemy. And the reason you're feeling all this pressure and the reason you're feeling all this stress is because you're a threat to the enemy and he doesn't like it. And so because you're showing some potential and you're doing some stuff which is great in the church and you're going places, hey, the enemy doesn't like that. And he doesn't want you to get to that place. And so you're a threat to him, and that's why there's all this pressure. And all of a sudden, I was like, ooh, I feel a bit better. And I learned to encourage myself. I'm like, you know what, enemy? I am a threat to you because I'm good. Yeah. God's good in me, and he's going to use me for great things. Yeah. And I really believe that there's some people in here, and you've got to be honest with yourself, and you've got to say, hey, I need to encourage myself. Yeah. I've got a low self-esteem right now. I may be a little bit depressed. I don't know what it is. But I'm bold enough and have the faith to say it right now that you need to encourage yourself. You need to get the right view of yourself, know who you are in Jesus, and encourage yourself. You need to learn to speak positive words over your own life. You might find it easy to encourage other people because focusing on others means you neglect the need that you have in your own life. And focusing on others means you don't have to be reminded of all the bad stuff in your life and all the mistakes that you've made. But I want to say, you have got to encourage yourself. God's call for you is not that someone else lives their call, but God's call for you is that you would live the call that God's got for you. You would live out the plan and purpose that he has got for you. So you need to learn to encourage yourself. You need to learn to speak positive words to yourself. Maybe that means you stand in front of the mirror and you say, you are good. You are chosen by God. Jesus died for me so that I could have eternal life. God has got a plan for my life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Maybe that is you that needs to declare that sort of stuff in your life. And I really want, and I pray that you would be honest with yourself. And if that's you, that you would respond to that and say, you know what, that is me. I do have a low self-esteem. I don't believe in myself right now. There is some stuff in my life and it's limiting me and it's stopping me from living out the plan and purpose that God has in my life. That's going to change today. That is going to change today. This might be the end of a series on kingdom language, but it's the start of a season for your life where your life is going to change. Let's finish in prayer. Oh God, I love you, Lord. I thank you that you are good. God, I thank you that you are great, Lord. Even though a lot of people don't think you are, Lord, we know as a church that you are good. That you have good plans, great plans for every single person, Lord. And I thank you that you are an encourager, God. And through your Holy Spirit, you speak into our lives. And you say, step up, mighty warrior, and live out the plan and purpose that I've got for you. Oh, God, I thank you that you are an encourager. You love us. You valued us enough that Jesus, your Son, would die for us on the cross. I love you, God. We love you, God, and we just want to serve you and live in everything that you have got for us, God. And we don't want to be limited by our language or our thoughts, God, or the things we do, Lord. Oh, God, we want to take off everything that hinders us, Lord, and run the race that you have marked out for us in Jesus' name. I want to pray for three types of people today, and I want you to be honest with yourself. If you want to be more of an encouraging person and you want to be someone that speaks more positive words over people's lives, and I want you to have the courage to put your hand up and say, yes, today that change is in my life. I'm going to be an encourager. I'm going to be someone that speaks the language of the kingdom. And if that's you, I just want to pray for you and just lift you up to God. If that's you and you want to be an encourager, just raise your hand. My hand is raised. I know you can't see it, but I want to be more of an encourager. I want to speak more of the kingdom language. I want to lift people up and see people fulfill the potential that they've got. Awesome. I knew you guys would put your hands up. God, I lift up everybody here that's got their hand up, Lord, who's got the courage to say, Lord, I want my language to change. I want to be an encourager. Maybe you are an encourager. And you want to be more of an encourager. Lord, I lift us all up today. I pray that today you'd begin to work in our hearts, Lord. God, that you would help us to see the good stuff in people and help us to spit out those words of encouragement into people's lives. God, I pray you would give us the confidence in your word to declare it over people's lives and the circumstances they find themselves in. Oh, God, I thank you for these great people in this church, Lord. I pray your blessing over them. I pray that encouragement would flow out, God. Be a fountain of life, our words, God. Yes, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. And if you have the courage to say, Adrian, oh God, I've got a low self-esteem. I need to encourage myself, then I want to pray for you also, because I believe God wants to do a work in your heart. And so if that's you, I ask with all sincerity that you would raise your hand and say, God, I don't believe in myself. I'm really struggling with who I am and all that. And God, I need to encourage myself. I need to begin speaking positive words over my life. And if that's you, I want you to rate, that's great. That is fantastic. That is fantastic. The Holy Spirit is working in people's lives because they've got the courage to raise their hand and say, you know what, I've got to speak encouraging words over my life. I've got to speak positive words over my life. I've got to believe that God loves me. I've got to believe that God's got a plan and a purpose for my life. I've got to start believing it. It's not just for other people. This is all for me also. God, you see these people with their hands raised, Lord. They're just coming to you with all honesty, Lord. Just laying out their lives before you, God. Lord, I pray you would be with them. I pray, God, that today they would make a change in their life, God. That today their language, the way they speak to themselves would change, God. They would no longer speak negative things. They would no longer believe the lies that the enemy feeds into their minds, God. They would no longer join in with those negative thoughts, God, that the enemy puts in there. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would strengthen them, empower them, help them to speak positive words over their own life, God. Help them to have a great self-esteem, a great understanding of who they are in Christ Jesus. Help them to understand that they are chosen by you, God. Help them to understand that you love them, mighty God, that you have a plan for their life. And I pray that today they would begin to believe that. And I pray they would begin to declare that over their lives. Awesome. And just quickly, if you don't know Jesus and you want to give your life to him, I ask you to have the courage also to raise your hand and say, you know what, I don't know Jesus. This stuff sounds pretty good. He sounds like a pretty good God. And I can just sense something happening in my life right now, and I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that I'd have the courage, if that's them today, to raise their hands and say, you know what, I want to have a relationship with God. I want to get right with God today. If that's you, I just ask you to raise your hand. Cool. Well, let's all pray together to help those that have made a decision in their hearts, maybe. And you can repeat after me. Father God, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that Jesus died for me. I give my life to you. I want to follow you and live for you all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. Awesome.